thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it's the first year. It's the first show of the new year. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Sports Scene Network. I'm Wally. There you go. I get your mic, son. Hey, man, find your mic. You got it?
I got it now? I'm good to go now.
All right, now say who you are.
Will T, what's going on?
Well, you acting like we wireless, man.
Yeah. We aspire to be one day.
I know. That's big time. That means we big time. Right now, we're not. We're apartment time.
Studio time.
The studio is located in my apartment, so we're apartment time.
Okay.
I'm just messing with you. Anyways, the Urban Sports Scene on the Urban Sports Scene Network. If you haven't heard us before, we are a show based out the DMV, and we talk all sports. But we still cover our local teams like the Washington Redskins, Washington Wizards. So we try to keep it local, but we do have a national appeal to us. What you drinking, man?
Just a little something to celebrate the new show of the new year.
That is sharing. You gotta share what it is, though.
I'm not getting any endorsement dollars.
I hear you.
I'm not about to advertise anything for free.
Anyway, make sure you listen to our homies, Voice of the Fan. Their podcast show is similar to ours. The website is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. The show is hosted by Alex and my man Jeff. Also, our show is syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Apple G, so make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. And also, if you want to call into the show, our number is 202-495-0904. The lines aren't open yet, but when we open it during our next segment, so make sure you chime in. Say what you like or dislike about the show. We don't really care. Do you
really
care?
No, I don't.
I mean, I care about your opinions, but if you have something negative, I really don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how I roll.
They have the anonymity of being on the phone and not having to say it to our face. It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, man. You're like The Rock. It doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter
at all.
Oh,
man. All right, go ahead. Do your little tradition.
All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
National title game was last night. Great game. To me, it was a classic. The BCS game. Florida State winning 34-31, beating Auburn. Thoughts of the game, man?
Terrific game. Probably the second best BCS game that we've seen during the BCS history. After Texas versus USC, the famous Vince Young game where he played against USC that had two Heisman Trophy winners, Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. Florida State came out of the gates kind of, to me, a little timid. It was like the game was bigger than them. Jameis Winston, you could definitely tell his nerves were getting the best of him for the first three quarters. But then, you know, there's a reason why he's the Heisman Trophy winner. He turned it on in the fourth quarter, made a lot of big plays. On the last drive, he was 6 of 7 and found Benjamin for a touchdown with 13 seconds left. Very impressive game. I think it was a fitting way to end the BCS Bowl Series. Next year, we get what everyone wants, although not the amount of teams that everyone wants. But exactly, we do get partially what we want, which is a 14 playoff for college football championship.
It's interesting. I posed this question about it being like the best, last night being the best BCS game. Like you mentioned, a lot of folks had the USC-Texas game. At first, I had to think about it myself. I was like, yeah, because I was living in the moment. And when I saw that the game-winning drive by a freshman quarterback, I was just so impressed that he, you know, had the composure to win that, to do that. Even though,
Red shirt freshman.
And even though, you know, I think the wide receiver name was Green, the kid who was making
Mike
all
Green.
Who's making all the big plays. He made that long run towards the end of the game. But still, to have that, to be that cool and calm in that situation as a red shirt freshman, I was very impressed. But yeah, I would definitely have to go with the Texas USC game just because the names that were involved in that game was something big. Also, someone mentioned Tabitha Mayo on Facebook. She mentioned Ohio State versus Miami. And I had to think about that game. The only reason that game doesn't stand out to me is that Willis McGahee went down. I think that altered the results of that game.
And also, that game was too damn long. It was like two overtime.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it was a special game. Don't get me wrong.
No, it was special. It's definitely a game you won't remember, but she did make a very valid point. But that game was too damn long. It was two overtimes.
Yeah, I know. That's true. And we all, you know, we're a society that likes things short and sweet.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess so. Yeah. I don't know.
You're starting off the year already.
I know. That ain't sound right. That ain't sound right, man. That really didn't sound right. All right, we're gonna answer that. So let's go into Charlie Strong being that we talk about Texas anyway. Charlie Strong being the next head coach for Texas. Now, you had something interesting to say before we started taping.
Yeah, before. Well, first off, I think this is significant because you have an African American coach being the head football coach of Texas, the University of Texas, which is arguably one of the three best jobs, probably the best job in college football from a standpoint of donors and the heritage of the position and also the recruiting base. Charlie Strong, actually, the president and the AD caught some flack from probably Texas's University of Texas' biggest sports booster, Red McCombs. Any of you who are familiar, if the name sounds familiar from him, A, his name is on the business school. B, he's on the Minnesota Vikings, the Denver Nuggets, and the San Antonio Spurs. So he knows a little bit about sports, but he was a little bit rattled because as the biggest booster, he didn't have a say in the hiring of Charlie Strong. He thought the whole process was a kind of a kick in the face because he's donated so much money towards the school and the program. He felt that he should have had an equal voice in deciding who the next head coach of Texas football was.
It's amazing how these boosters, they feel they're entitled to this team and the to the school and to the team. You boost, you know, you're a booster. You give money to your program. You give them back, but you shouldn't have, you know, in terms of let the AD or president, whoever, run that university or in sports program the way they want to. And Texas has done it. I love the hire. The hire was great to me. Charlie Strong was an excellent coach in Louisville. He brought the program back after what's his name? Was it Patino or who left Louisville for the NFL?
Petrino.
Yeah, Petrino, who left for to Atlanta. He's done a great job.
The disgraced. Yeah. Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, exactly. And he went to he's going to Texas, and it's Texas we're speaking of. We're speaking of Texas. We have an African American coach in Texas.
This is
and
huge.
That is huge.
From that standpoint, because I don't think, you know, there's probably two things people who grew up in the 50s and 60s never thought they would see. A, which is the African American president, and that's happened. And B, a head coach for the University of Texas football being an African American.
Yeah, and people in Texas are excited.
They are. They should be.
And that's the cool thing about it. That's where we've gone now in 2014. People are excited, in Texas, about having an African American head coach. And the guy can recruit. He's done a great job in Louisville. So I can only imagine what he's going to do in Texas with more talent. We're talking about Texas players, and he has a good base in Florida. So he'll probably bring some guys in Florida. He'll have guys in Texas. The sky's the limit for that for the Texas Longhorns.
It is. It truly is. I think he'll bring a physical brand of football back to the University of Texas. That defense will definitely be hitting on all cylinders because we know his background.
He's a defense.
Former defensive coordinator at the University of Florida and also former defensive a position coach, I want to say, at LSU. I could be wrong.
Not sure myself. But I know he has a great defensive background.
He does. And he's been able to recruit. Just look what he did with bringing Tommy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater to the University of Louisville, a guy who's from Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the better quarterbacks in that class, and also probably the likely number one pick overall in the 2014 NFL draft.
All right. Speaking of the next draft, speaking of the 2014 draft, and Bridgewater, Clowney Bridgewater and Sammy Watkins have entered the NFL draft. They're declaring early. Who will be the better pro between the three?
That's a tough question and a good one to ask. If you had to ask me right now, I'm gonna go with Bridgewater. I think Bridgewater possesses all the tools from a not only physically, athletically, physically, and mental to be a tremendous pro. The reason I know that some people will say Clowney has the physical dominance to be, you know, he's been dominating college football, but you have to wonder, this past year, he kind of took this year off, so you have to wonder, does he have the mentality, that dog in him to want to dominate on every snap?
I actually think Bridgewater is a potential bust.
We'll talk about that closer to the draft.
Closer to the draft, but I'll just, you know, state that. I feel that the most talented player is Clowney. I don't knock Clowney for taking plays off, because when you saw your man Lattimore go down and blowing out his knee, I'm looking at it like, all right, I'm about my money. I'm automatically, everybody hyping me up to be like the first pick overall anyway. Why even try to chance that? So I understand him dogging it. For a guy, in my opinion, a guy who was the best high school player coming in, I think he was the best high school player coming into the
yeah, I think he was
coming into college, recruit. Coming into college, and to produce that way, and then all of a sudden, you know, be impactful in South Carolina. He's to me, he's a stud. He's a guaranteed star in the NFL to me, in my opinion. And then when I talk about Sammy Watkins, we're talking about Larry Fitzgerald good. That he is automatically a number one once he comes into the NFL. He's a number one. We're talking about a dog as a wide receiver, a man that is wants to give you contact, who's ready to hurt you.
The only reason I wouldn't put Sammy Watkins as number one because his position is reliant upon a good quarterback getting him the ball.
Yeah, but he is, for instance, he's the 1-2. If I'm the St. Louis Rams, I'm getting Sammy Watkins Jr. Sammy Watkins. That's
with
who I'm
the second
getting.
Pick overall?
I'm getting Sammy Watkins. Because he's a need. Defensively, I'm stout. That defense is good. The St. Louis Rams D is good. Why do I have a number one wide receiver? No, I don't. I don't have a number one. I have a slot wide receiver Trayvon Austin. I have a good slot wide receiver. I don't have a number one outside receiver. I don't got a dog. That's a dog right there.
Well, I mean, that's a subject that we'll tackle closer to the draft because, you know, that's been pushed back to May.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for helping us out so much. Like, I like it in April. That's my birthday. I like having everything near my birthday. It's like my birthday, and then that weekend is the draft. You know what I mean?
So it sets up pretty nice for you.
It does for me. It used to. So Roger Goodell want to F up the money.
Well, you know, Roger doesn't like
anyway, let's go to states. Let's go to college football. I mean, college basketball. Excuse me. Kentucky is ranked 14th. Kansas is ranked 18th, and Duke is ranked 16th. I think this is the first time Duke has ever been
out of the top 10 since 2007.
Yeah, 2007. Yes. Why are these teams struggling so bad?
If you look at all three of these teams, what's the key component for all three of them? They all are led by
freshmen. Yeah.
It's still very early on in the college basketball season. So these freshmen still are kind of figuring their way out. You know, as we get closer to the tournament, you know, end of February, beginning of March, you'll probably see these teams ascend up the rankings, especially Duke playing in the ACC, which I don't think is going to be that strong this year. So you'll probably see Duke back in the top 10. Kansas, it depends on if Andre Wiggins lives up to the potential and the hype that everyone has placed on him. You know, I've told you the last show we had, I'm not saying that his game is similar, but he's kind of flaming out and leaning a little bit towards Felipe Lopez, a guy, you know, anyone who remember who played in St. John's, I believe it was 1996.
He's around the same time AI was in college.
Yeah, very heralded freshman coming out of New York. Had the cover of Sports Illustrated, but Felipe Lopez didn't fulfill the potential that everyone thought he had. Everyone thought he would be a once-in-a-generation player. And to this point, Andre Wiggins hasn't lived up to the hype. Jabari Parker definitely has.
Jabari Parker can ball.
Yeah, he's the best player in college basketball right now.
Yeah, he is. He can ball. But it's interesting. I don't know why they're struggling, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, Kentucky. The guy, Julius Randle, he's a beast. But the rest of the freshmen, the Smith brothers in the backcourt, much heralded backcourt, haven't kind of played up to that level that everyone thought they would be at. And plus they don't have, you know, when they had Andre Davis and the rest of those freshmen.
Andre Davis, you talking about Andre Davis.
Anthony Davis,
the kid from who plays for Charlotte Bobcats now. Oh my God, he plays like Gerald Wallace.
Michael Kidd Gilbert.
Kidd Gilbert. Yeah.
Those guys, I think the rest of that team, they knew their roles. They knew Anthony Davis was the star. They knew we only go as far as he can take us.
They knew Anthony Davis. I'm sorry, I cut you off, man.
No problem. You do it all the time.
They knew Anthony Davis was the defensive wizard who can probably get his, you know, get his shot. Can get the putbacks and things of that sort, and he wasn't even a selfish player. Anthony Davis was he wasn't a selfish. Then they knew they had a scorer with it was Terrence Jones.
Yes,
Terrence Jones, and they also knew you had a point guard who can break you down. And Teague, I think Teague was on that team too, right?
Marquise Teague.
Yeah,
yes.
Teague. So they all played well together. It was almost, to be honest with you, like a Fab Five-ish kind of mentality. I mean, it wasn't as good as the Fab Five in my opinion. You know, they won a national championship, but they had that type of rapport. Like, they really knew how to play with each other.
And also, Anthony Davis was a transformative player. He's a once in a, I'm not going to say generation, but once every 5 years type of college player who can dominate on both sides of the
Totally agree. But it's interesting. Like, I'm still trying to figure out why Kentucky's struggling, because in college basketball, nowadays, you know, you get the most talented individuals. It doesn't really matter what age they are, because the talent is so watered down that you expect these guys to still win games. Kentucky, for them to be ranked 14th in the country at this point in time, having the losses they've accrued right now during the season, it's interesting to me. So it's kind of confusing, especially having a dominant post player in Randall.
I just think that they haven't come together as a team. Everyone isn't accepting of their role on the team as of now. Everyone's still remembering that 6 months ago they were the big shot in their high school basketball
That's
team
true.
And on their AAU team during the summer. So these guys haven't really come to assimilate together and learn how to play off of each other. What I think was the biggest thing, because, you know, just at this point, if you're going to start like five freshmen, they need to learn how to not only play together but play off each other.
And then you got Kansas, that I just don't understand at all. They don't look like a good team. I saw them play San Diego State over the weekend, and Fisher's boys, they roughed them up. And those were San Diego State had nothing but upperclassmen, juniors and seniors on their team. If you have fifth year seniors, and they were grown men against kids. And Wiggins is going to need to develop a shot. I think he can develop a shot. His free throw game is pretty nice. He shoots almost close to 80% from the free throw line. I've always said that if you can shoot decent from the free throw line, that means you do have a jump shot somewhere, so you can find it. But again, he's still fresh in football. I mean, fresh in basketball. So maybe his game will get better in college. If not, he'll go be in the NBA, and hopefully a coach is willing. And it will take the time to teach him so become a better NBA player. We're talking about a guy who's been, the second highly touted player since LeBron James in high school.
He's been anointed.
Anointed.
Without earning.
That's true.
He's
athletic, though. He is athletic.
No, he's very athletic. He can get to the basket at will and get to the basket very
quickly.
What
you mean by getting to the basket at will? I mean, breaking down his defender to get to the basket?
Getting past his defender. I'm not going to say he can get breaking them down off the dribble, but first step.
His quick first step. Yeah.
Very quick first step. Very explosive.
Yeah. I really wasn't. I'm not high on Wiggins, to be honest with you. I'm really not.
I've always been high on Jabari Parker.
Well, that's Paul Pierce.
I've seen him play a bunch of times on ESPN2 in high school. I was very high on him. Plus, he played at Chicago Public Schools. And anyone who knows anything about a little bit about high school basketball knows that Chicago Public School, they have some of the better teams, some of the best stiffer competition.
Oh, they don't got killers out there? You talking about waiting in the stands, ready to get you?
They probably have some of those.
Crime rate is real in Chicago.
It is, man.
Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we were talking about the Redskins firing.
Your favorite subject.
Yeah, of course. We're firing, like, my favorite coach in the world. Like, Mike Shanahan's. We did fire him. Excuse me. He's not my favorite coach in the world, though. I'm so ecstatic. So happy. Thank you, Bruce Allen. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Doses.
This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
We're back from commercial break. Before we get into Wally's favorite subject, we got a couple of reads coming out of break. You can also listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website at www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan.
Yeah, and also, the line is open, so make sure you call in. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Yeah, like Will T says, my favorite subject. Not just my favorite, it's my favorite team, but we're talking about my favorite subject and topic, Mike Shanahan being fired. It brought me so much happiness before, you know, during the, you know, coming into the new year knowing that the rat-faced bastard is not going to be my head coach anymore.
Wow, that's kind of harsh words, but
it's the real truth.
Remember, because we were watching the Sunday night game, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And you made a comment. You said that I'm going to sit on the bed and listen to the radio until the announcement is official that Mike Shanahan had been fired.
You know, I was that happy. I was waiting for it. Was like,
yeah, they got it done early. I'm alluding to that because they got it done pretty early.
Yeah.
It was officially announced at, what, 9:15 a.m.
exactly.
In the morning?
Exactly. No, remind me of when I was a kid growing up in the hard streets of Spring Hill Lake. It would remind me of when I used to,
the hard streets.
Exactly. You heard what I said, son. You heard what I said.
Okay.
All right. It reminded me when my folks was like, there's a Santa Claus. And they were like, Santa was going to come to your balcony. And I slept by my balcony because we had no chimney. It was in apartments. So I slept by my balcony and waited for Santa to come. And it was like, all right. I waited and slept. That's how I waited for Mike Shanahan. I waited by the radio to make sure that somebody stated that he was going to be canned. And he was. And I was happy.
Yeah.
Felt like a kid in Christmas. Felt like a Christmas kid.
From the reports, it was like a 15-minute conversation. So I wonder what that conversation was like. He probably walked into
went
the
like
office.
This.
Good morning.
Take your laptop. Take your little, what's it? Not the laptop.
His iPad.
Take your iPad
binder.
And get out of my face. That's what they're telling him.
They probably told him, take your iPad and your binder, your ghost, Vominos, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of my face. Be gone. Poof, you don't exist anymore. It was a great moment. But how do you feel the firing was handled? Was handled right to you? Was it sloppy? What?
No, I think that the decision was made probably... I think Mike Shanahan knew the decision was made when he started to leak the information about him he was considering leaving the team after the playoffs. I think that's when the decision was made. He probably got wind of it. So he wanted to, for his standpoint, he wanted to make himself look good because, you know, he's a 2-time Super Bowl winning coach. He's very highly thought of in many league circles and around the league. Also thought of as an offensive guru. He didn't want the situation to get the best of him and make him look like he was inept. So he probably was stating, hey, you know, I wanted to leave after the play, you know, sometime before the playoff game, but I only stuck around because we got on that win streak. And he put that out there because he knew what was coming down the line. He was going to get the axe. What do you think?
Truth be told, I thought it was handled perfectly by the regime. I mean, you know, I talked to you before. All the speculation was going on, and I thought he was gonna get his 1 year. Just for Daniel Snyder to be like, okay, you know what? I know that my image is, I like in my image is I fire coaches pretty quick, prematurely. I should have a coach come into this organization and finish out his contract. If I do that, maybe, you know, my image would look a little better. But I like that he's like, okay, you know what? This team isn't working. This guy's created drama. He needs to go. And that's the thing that we all have to recognize. And this is the thing that annoys me, too, and I want to speak on this. People blame Daniel Snyder for everything. It's like even when he doesn't do anything, he's like, it's his fault. It's Daniel Snyder's fault. And the what I'm annoyed with this situation is, and I've heard it during many, I mean, in many circles, is that people come out and say, well, you know, we can't win because we have this, because of this owner. This owner didn't do anything wrong in this situation. When you, because well, let me, because the team fails. Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me cut you off right there.
Go ahead.
I think it's the perception.
Yeah.
It's the perception that the owner in the past has been a busybody, been wanting to have his input. And don't get me wrong, if you own something, you should have valid input. But if you've hired guys who are quote-unquote technical experts and that have a level of expertise in that industry or arena, you should sit back and allow them to make the necessary decisions to put your franchise or put your business ahead. Now, having said that, I think a lot of fans and a lot of people, specifically in this area, Dan Snyder is on a short lease with them just because, you know, and everything that's come out about the relationship with Robert Griffin III. You know, there have been prior incidents with a guy like Clinton Portis, who a lot of people alluded to and said that he was too close to. So to put yourself in that situation, you kind of are going to bear the brunt of a lot of people's criticism. It's kind of like a crackhead who said he's reformed and he's sober now, going within 10 feet of someone who has crack. And people are saying, oh, you're using again. That would be a likely scenario. You know, you get what I'm trying to say?
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a good analogy. I'm not knocking that. What I'm saying is that what annoys me is that the whole thing about meddling, he's not meddling. Not in this situation. Put it this way. When Shanahan got his contract and he had Nary White, when he was going to be the guy, he's going to make all the moves as a president, everybody was excited. All right?
Right.
Like, oh, finally, you know, we got a guy who's going to make all the moves. This is the fact. He failed. Shanahan failed. It is what it is. He failed. All right? He got to make all the moves. He did the Bill Parcells thing, but the difference is Bill Parcells succeeded. What he did, he got the groceries. He got a shop for his groceries. He got everything. He just didn't win with them. All right? One season, one streak, 7-game winning streak, and that's it. All right? He failed. Snyder didn't fail. Snyder let him do what he wanted to do. He failed. The whole thing about him meddling, now, let's put it this way. I hate that, you know, people like, because he's friends with Robert Griffin, or he's chummy with Robert.
Players.
Okay. Let's put Robert Griffin, because this is the present. Let's put Robert Griffin.
Okay.
John Elway was tight with Pat Bowen.
Yeah, and I'm
and,
not.
And he's. And, the, no, I'm saying you. I'm just saying, like, for the people. I'm talking for the people, not you.
Okay, no, and I'm a counter.
Go ahead.
Because I don't think anyone's here. No one's here to, or people haven't called in yet on our hotline at 202-495-9094. Call in. You're welcome to give your opinion on this subject matter. Mm-hmm. Although Pat Bowen is tight with John Elway, and I'm pretty sure Robert Kraft is tight with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a negative perception in the past where a star player has been able to circumvent his coach. There hasn't been a perception in the past where that star player has been able to go to the owner and say, hey, I don't feel like practicing today, so I'm going to take the day off. And the owner say, okay.
You talking about Clinton Portis?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the present.
But you still have to – but I understand the present, but you can't neglect the past.
But you
and
can't.
And that's where a lot of people's perception of him as being a meddlesome owner comes into play.
But you can't always use that. I mean, I'm saying, but you can't always use that. Like, just because one situation happened, you can't always use that. Put in facts for what it is. The fact of the matter is, with this situation, period, we went 3-13 with Shanahan's guys. Shanahan made the moves. Shanahan decided to bring his boy, the special teams coach. Shanahan decided to not value a kickoff returner, punt returner, when Crawford went down. Shanahan made these plays. Shanahan did this. Shanahan decided, okay, I don't need a real right tackle. I can take Plumbus. I don't need a real center. I'm going to keep with Montgomery. Corey Littensteiger already messed his knee up a couple years ago. He hasn't been the same. I'm going to continue to have Corey Littensteiger as a guard because Shanahan felt like his system made it work. Shanahan made these decisions. All right, Daniel Snyder didn't make these decisions, but for real, let's be honest with you. If it was Daniel Snyder making decisions, things would be a little different. We would see a more greedy, hungry owner. We would. Shanahan would have been fired in year two if he was making decisions like he used to. All right, my thing is the dude has changed. Let's not blame every little thing on him when we mess up. It's not like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is making decisions. He's making real decisions. Snyder was not making real decisions. You know that, and that's it. Now, if he's don't get wrong, if he's chummy with Rob Griffin, RG3's father, that's a whole different situation, in my opinion, because he's like enabling him to act a certain way.
Well, let me give you this counter argument. There's been some speculation and been reported that the Mike Shanahan didn't want to give up the amount of picks that was given up to move up to number two. Mm-hmm. So let's say that's one case of Daniel Snyder meddling. And let's go with another, mm-hmm. which I think because of the way the situation played out, everyone could probably agree with. I think it was more of a Daniel Snyder thing that wanted to bring Donovan McNabb here than it was Mike Shanahan.
My counter to that is Shanahan said that he wanted McNabb. Shanahan, and the thing about the RG3 thing, this is the funny thing about RG3. Well, RG3 was doing this thing last season. He took ownership for that. He wanted RG3. Now that there was some adversity in the season, during the season, now it's speculation is that, yeah, he didn't really want RG3. But when you were winning, you wanted RG3. That's my whole thing with Shanahan. The people who are listening to Shanahan, I scratch my head. I'm like, this is the same dude who came in the press conference and said, well, you know what? Usually I'm not upfront with you guys, so now I'm telling you the truth. Sounds like a liar to me.
Yeah, that was backwards.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, sounds like a liar to me. People are now listening to an individual who's leaking out information who's already told you in his face that he lies. He told you in your face that he lies. Now we're like, okay, this guy, this individual's leaking out information. Oh, he's leaking out that RG3 is this, that, and the other. He's too chummy with Daniel Snyder. He's this, that, and the other. I'm like, look at the source you're believing.
Okay, speaking of leaks and RG3, Sally Jenkins wrote in the sports column today, she had a very riveting column where she basically took a crowbar to RG3's knees and the back of his head. well, essentially she did. She said that sources – here we go again with the quote-unquote sources, have reported to her that RG3 has gotten to numerous finger-pointing matches with his wide receivers. And he's also come out and stated that he can control the future or direction of the franchise because of his relationship with the owner, Daniel Snyder. How do you feel about that? Do you think there's any validity? Well, first of all, I think it doesn't take a genius to know where this came from.
Exactly.
That's Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, the guys who left the building.
Exactly.
And two, do you think there's any validity to these?
Did he say he can run the organization? That's comical.
Not run the organization.
No, he said he can
impact.
He can get
because
you gone.
Of his relationship.
That's hilarious. It's hilarious to me.
Well, I mean, some would say
that. I don't see anything that's if that was the case, we would have Terrence Williams as a Washington Redskin. If he had that much pull, Terrence Williams would be a Washington Redskin. If he had that much pull, to be honest with you, when Gordon was on the market, he'd be a Washington Redskin.
If he had that much pull, Art Briles would be his coach.
Exactly. And Art Briles isn't like he's coming here. If he had that much pull,
but I think it would be fair to say that he does have some pull or he'll have some insight into who the next coach is.
Any quarterback, any star quarterback has some say into what quarterback or what offensive coordinator, put it this way, what offensive coordinator you're going to bring into the fold. They want an offensive coordinator that's going to suit RG3 to his talents. That's what they want. Or who's going to make RG3 a better quarterback? So he's going to have some. Be honest with you, he's going to have some say.
I think he's going to have some say. And also, I think you kind of handicap the field from this standpoint. Okay, let's say you sit down. Let's say, who have they interviewed so far? A guy like Perry Fuel or Sean McDermott or
Daryl Bevel.
Daryl Bevel. And
they plan on bringing in Jay Gruden, in Mike Zimmer.
Okay, so probably the first question asked is, what do you think of RG3 as a quarterback? What do you think his prospects are in the future?
Mm-hmm.
So if a coach were to say, I'm not necessarily sold on him being the quarterback of the future.
Gone.
Okay, yes.
So supposed to be gone.
Yeah, so you kind of handicapping the field from that standpoint. So you're kind of getting a guy that's kind of
– not really. You're looking for a believer. You're looking for a guy who feels that they can coach him up to make him what they think he should be.
Well, I'll give you this perspective of it. There are two talented quarterbacks that are currently on that roster. True? Kirk Cousins and RG3.
I think Kirk Cousins showed you how talented he is.
Well, needless to say, there are two young quarterbacks with
that's
potential.
Better. That's better.
With a bright future and potential on that roster.
Okay.
What if a guy like, let's say a guy who a lot of people want for the job, like Ken Whisenhunt, comes in and says, you know what? RG3 to me is still a work in progress. But I can win now with Kirk Cousins because he's a more polished NFL passer.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
If Ken Whisenhunt comes into an interview and says that, I think that interview kind of, after he makes that statement, is kind of crickets.
He's not the coach. I mean,
so technically, he still partially can control the future and the direction of the team and the franchise.
So RG3, put it this way, and this is just how it is. Some coaches think they don't like particular players. Some coaches didn't want Drew Brees when he was a free agent. Sean Payton did. He wanted Drew Brees more. It happens. Does that make Sean Payton better than Nick Saban? I mean, well, Nick Saban was the coach back then, but does that mean anything?
Well, Nick Saban actually said that he wanted.
Yeah, but well, they didn't
Drew Brees.
Like this. They didn't. He said he got Dante Culpepper. They got Dante Culpepper. But I'm saying, like, some people are putting a draft scene. It's the same way in a draft. You pass up on a quarterback because you don't believe that you can make that quarterback is better for your organization. The other quarterback who maybe Tom Brady is a prime example, went what, sixth round. So are you telling me that coaches? I mean, you're handicapped because you didn't think that Tom Brady or whatever. It's the same type of argument.
No, I think you're kind of skewing the argument a little bit.
But it's the same argument.
No, it's not the same argument. But from the standpoint that
you want to
Tom Brady. No, this is from the standpoint that you're already the coach there. I don't think there's any franchise that would head into the draft without a head coach.
I can hear that.
So from this standpoint, Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins are already implanted on that roster.
Exactly.
Already have salaries which don't count for a great amount against the salary cap, right?
Okay.
A coach comes in and says, you know what? I want this job. I can make this team better. This is my detailed plan to make this team better. But it doesn't involve Robert Griffin III being the starting quarterback come week one of next year. So you're already technically handicapped yourself, and you're already –
because you're looking for your guy. He's not your guy. You're still looking for your guy. He's not your guy. That's what it entails. You're looking for your guy because you know that RG3, you feel in your soul, and the GM and the organization feels in their soul, because the organization that feels that this guy can be super special. If a guy doesn't see this, if somebody doesn't see it, and he may be the minority, all right? So now it'd be more. I guess in my opinion, it would be more impactful if every guy you brought in told you, okay, I don't see it, all right. And in my opinion, you won't get that. The majority will probably tell you, RG3 is their guy. in my opinion. The majority will. But if you
want the job, you will.
Yeah. Well, whatever. But you know what I mean? The majority, I think, yeah. Well, play this. I think the majority feels that way, to be totally honest with you. I think the majority feels that way. Period. I think the majority of folks, even, you know, when you listen to people on NFL Network, or listen to people in the NFL game, they feel that a healthy RG3 is more impactful than a Kirk Cousins can be. They'll pretty much state it. Now, if you get the minority, one guy saying, like, okay, well, I like Kirk Cousins more, he's not your guy. If you get everybody that you bring in keeps are telling you that Kirk Cousins is your guy, then you're gonna have to reexamine how you're gonna do things or reevaluate how you do things, and maybe RG3 isn't the guy for it.
All right, another perspective. What if a guy has a very decorated coaching resume, comes in and is, and in your mind, comes in, he's the top candidate.
Yeah.
But he comes in and says,
in my mind. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. RG3. Say like a Bill Cowher. Just say like Bill Cowher. That's my guy.
Okay. Say Bill Cowher. Let's say your favorite guy is Bill Cowher.
Right now, yeah, in the market. I got you. Yeah.
Let's say Bill Cowher comes in and says, you know, I don't think as of now he's the guy that could put us in the best position to win immediately. Excuse me. Okay. I think Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah.
So interview conversations over?
For me?
No. Put yourself in the position of the owner.
It's over.
The GM.
It's over.
Okay then. So he's already handicapped.
But that's not RG3's fault. That's the owner. You have the right to hire anybody you want to.
Okay.
He's the owner. That's the bit of an owner. You can hire anybody you want to. Like, for instance, Denver Broncos, the Denver Broncos had what's his face? Tim Tebow. He got him to the playoffs. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Owner was like, John Elway and the owner were like, man, he ain't our guy. He ain't gonna help us out. Got rid of him. And he helped them win.
Okay.
You have the choice to get whoever you want. Tim Tebow went in a good streak. And I'm not a Tim Tebow fan. We went on a nice streak. Won a postseason game. In any other franchise, he gets a job next season, right?
Yeah.
In any other franchise. I'm just especially a losing franchise. He has a job. But then the Denver Broncos, they weren't accepting it. They said, no, we can get Peyton Manning. We're good. We don't need you anymore.
Well, I think in that situation, Peyton Manning was the only guy you could get, and because he was a clearly head and shoulders a way better quarterback. It's not like with the Tim Tebow situation, you could have brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but they weren't committed to Tim Tebow anyway. To be honest with you,
no, they weren't. I'm just saying.
Peyton Manning, I agree. They knew they had a good chance to get Peyton Manning. And they went for it. But I'm just saying, truth be told, if there was a second tier quarterback on the market that was good, they would have brought him in. Tim Tebow's job, but they would have brought him in.
All right, let's push this conversation along, talking about the Mike Shanahan firing that occurred the Monday before last.
It was a great firing. One of the greatest firings of all time.
In your opinion.
Of all time.
All right, so.
And I don't feel bad for him. I don't care either. Go ahead, sorry.
Later in the afternoon, Bruce Allen held a press conference. He personally said that he's the head honcho when it comes to all football decisions. The buck stops with him. He stated in the past that Mike Shanahan for the previous 4 years was executive of a football operation.
He's the president. He had the juice.
He had the juice. So he said now guys like Morocco Brown, Scott Campbell,
Morocco Brown going to do the good. They have their job.
They will have more say in the player personnel. Bruce Allen's the GM. He'll go out and he'll pick the next coach.
Yeah.
Do you feel confident for him picking the next coach of the Washington Redskins?
I love what Bruce Allen had to say. I love the direction of the team in terms of front office. People forget we still have A.J. Smith in the front office. And I actually like A.J. Smith. I'm not like everybody else. I actually like A.J. Smith.
I think he has a bigger role in
A.J. Smith, me too.
In
me too.
Front office than a lot of people actually totally realize
him. Totally agree. And I think also, you know, Morocco Brown had an interview for the Bears GM position a while back. So I like what we have. I like their structure. In years past, it was just Vinny, and Vinny was just nothing. So – their structure, regardless, you know, like it or not, their structure and people are accountable, and I like it. And some people get to do their job. We're going to scout some individuals. We're going to bring in the guys that are going to fit this offense. I mean, this is a good thing. All right. We don't have a we're going to have a coach who's going to just coach, and we're going to have a front office that's going to do their due diligence to bring in one, bring in a coach that we need. That's why we're interviewing like 80 different candidates right now.
I think it was up to 12 last time.
Obviously I'm exaggerating it. But yes. And then secondly, I feel like we're going to really examine what free agents we bring into this for this team. And we're going to bring in guys, to be honest with you. And well, this is what I want. I'm going to speak on as a Redskin fan. I want to bring in bruisers. I want tough guys. I'm sick of the soft football players. You watching the NFL, you watching the playoffs. Look at these teams that are being are successful in the playoffs. You got the San Francisco 49ers. It's a physical team. They'll beat you up. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers, who's a great quarterback, but they went against a bully. And they never beat the bully. All right. Now let's go over to the Seattle Seahawks. They play a bruising style of football. They have a bully mentality. These teams win in the postseason. There's a reason why that Peyton Manning lost to the Baltimore Ravens last year.
And
that's a bully.
One team you didn't include, which is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, the Colts. They play a bruising style too, because it's the Harbaugh. Harbaugh tree with the offensive coordinator too.
Yeah, Pat Johnson, offensive coordinator. Yeah. And Chuck Strong as
the defense.
Chuck Pagano as the head coach.
Yeah. So you have a meanness in football that wins in the postseason, and that's the kind of guy I think they're going to probably. I hope they bring in to coach this team, and also the personnel I hope they bring in to play for this team.
I'm gonna tell you one thing I really, and if you listened, I picked out of Bruce Allen's press conference the level of dysfunction within your team, their organization.
That was the Shanahan.
I'm not going to even say that was just the Shanahan, but the previous regime with Vinny Serrato.
Go ahead.
Scott Campbell and Morocco Brown are head of college.
Like scouting, too.
Personnel and
scouting.
Pro player personnel.
Yeah.
To me, when he says those guys that have a bigger voice, to me, what that tells me that
ninjas weren't listening to
them. They weren't listening. To me, that tells me that Scott Campbell put up a draft board in the past, and he said, "I have this guy rated as a first rounder, this guy rated a second rounder, third rounder, such on, so on and so on." To me, it's telling me that all right, we didn't even pay attention to his board.
Yeah,
we went with the guy who, in our heart and soul, who we thought. So that's telling me during the Shanahan era, there were two draft boards. There was Scott Campbell's draft board, and then there was Mike and Kyle Shanahan's draft board. And the final say was, we're going with our draft board, we're not going with yours. So that you got two guys doing the same job, and you've employed Scott Campbell, who has an expertise in college scouting, to be the guy in charge of your draft. But still, Mike Shanahan was like, no, I'm going with my gut, or he's going with how he has guys graded.
And also, to even add on that, it tells me that when they reviewed their boards, they were like, he was right. I'm sure he looked back on Rocco Brown's board and Campbell's board and was like, okay, they had some good picks. How come we didn't pick these individuals?
All right, but let me give you the other side of that argument. If these guys were so talented, as you know, kind of what's been alluded to, and they weren't, and their voice wasn't being heard, why stick around? If you're that talented and you're that great at your job, I don't think there's any individual who is truly say they're really good at their job, and their ideas, they believe, can move the organization forward. And people aren't paying attention to their ideas. They don't just say, okay, you know what? I'm that talented. I'm a bet on me, and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna find me another job.
Hey, bruh. It's the Washington Redskins. They make money. Maybe Daniel Snyder, they getting paid. They could be getting paid well. It could be a money thing. You know, Daniel Snyder is a very, you know, obviously he doesn't. One thing about Daniel Snyder, obviously with, you know, the salary cap, you can't do with so much. But coaches can get paid. Coaches, scouts, or whatever. Scouts, people and personnel, they can get paid. So in that regard, yeah, they probably got some money.
All right. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more Redskins and the hiring of the next coach. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
On the eyes? I got to stop doing that, man.
You do.
It's on the Urban Sports Scene Network.
For ages.
Yeah, dig?
Deuces.
Morning. It's me, Magic Johnson, here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day, and of course, give it your best shot.
I'm feeling it. Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it. So buy another round and try to shut us down about an hour ago, but we still in this.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Thank you, Scarlett. We love you too. It's the Urban Sports Team back on. Again, if you need to hit us up, give us a call in. The number is 202. Yes, and thank you. I had to do some little producing work. Say it again, Will.
202-495-0904.
Thank you. Because, you know, I'm trying to operate the music and everything.
You're a man that wears a lot of hats to keep this thing going.
I try, man. Anyway, we're back on some Redskin news about the hiring of a possible coach. We mentioned earlier that the Redskins interviewed Daryl Bevel, Caldwell from the Ravens. And they are about to interview Jay Gruden, excuse me, and Mike Zimmer from Cincy. There's another one too.
They also interview Sean McDermott, the defense coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. I think he's out of all the candidates, he probably has the worst chance.
Because the Eagles, right?
He was the former Eagles defensive coordinator.
He was horrible.
He was horrible. So he is just letting you. To me, it's letting you know. Well. There are two things that there are two sides, two perspectives you could take on it. Mm-hmm. A, once he got fired by the Eagles, he realized his mistakes, and when he came to Carolina, he fixed those mistakes. Or B, he just has better talent in Carolina that's ideal for his scheme.
Yeah.
So there are two perspectives you could take on it. You know, whatever one you decide to take, you know, it's on you.
I mean, this organization, like I said, this front office, this team, right now, they're doing their due diligence.
Yeah, they're casting a very wide net. And mm-hmm. if I'm a Redskins fan,
you should be happy.
You should be extremely happy because that means they're talking to a lot of guys, they're picking a lot of guys' brains, and they're trying and it's helping them determine what type of coach they want to hire and which direction they should be going in the future. And, you know, I know it's taken longer than a lot of Redskins fans would think. They would think, oh, this is the ideal job because, you know, you have RG3. You have a franchise, a quote-unquote franchise quarterback.
He's a franchise quarterback. You know. You believe
Andrew
a franchise
Luck
quarterback.
Is a franchise.
Oh, Andrew quarterback. Luck is an all-time great quarterback. That's different. That's not. Okay, let's be real. All right, I love Andrew Luck.
I can't say he's a franchise quarterback off of two seasons. One which was exceptional, his rookie season, and one which was extremely shaky.
Is Cam Newton a franchise quarterback?
Cam Newton's a very good quarterback. I wouldn't say he's a franchise quarterback yet because he had a decent rookie season, a down second season, and now he's rebounded.
So Russell Wilson is a franchise quarterback.
Russell Wilson has had two exceptional seasons. So
I would say his first season was exceptional.
Second season has been exceptional.
Look at the stats. You think stats are that great?
I think his stats are in the upper echelon amongst quarterbacks.
Let's put it this way: if he didn't have that defense, would you still consider him?
But we can't have that argument because he has that defense.
I know Andrew Luck doesn't. The only reason I go with Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck's defense is average. I know that for a fact.
Andrew Luck's defense is average. His receiving core is below average.
That's why I know he's from a franchise quarterback. To me, he's a franchise quarterback because he doesn't. That team is dependent on him.
Yeah, and he's produced. Not only are they dependent on him. And he produces.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can make the argument that Russell Wilson,
they're not dependent.
That offense is somewhat dependent upon
him. Got Marshawn Lynch. They're not dependent on, like, Andrew Luck has no running game.
Donald Brown has really started to.
He's stepping up, but just be consistent. I mean, consistently speaking, throughout the whole season, he really hasn't had a running game. And we're looking at, like the total season, the body of work. He hasn't had a running game. Defense has been good at times. It's been bad, but it's not a dominant defense. That team is – if Luck doesn't play well, that team loses. Can we say that?
That's fair. I totally agree.
If Russell Wilson doesn't play good, that team can still win. because it's been shown. Because Carolina, that team, he didn't play well against Carolina in Carolina. That team won because that defense held Carolina to, like, I believe, like six or something, a ridiculous amount of points. In Carolina. He doesn't have to play well for them to win.
That's somewhat fair, but I'll just say, excuse me, statistically speaking, Russell Wilson has had two very strong years back-to-back, first 2 years in the league. So I would put him on the level of.
Okay, so if that's the case, is Andy Dalton elite?
Andy Dalton, his play has always been shaky.
But if we're going to look at the stats, if we're going to go on the stats, Andy Dalton has had three playoff seasons. Three. Is he elite? Because it's almost, it's very similar. It's very similar.
Andy Dalton hasn't won a playoff game.
Oh, I'll give you that. So now we're going to playoff game. So now we're going to playoff game.
And I'm not saying the defining.
Is winning playoff games now?
No, I'm not saying it's the defining criteria is winning playoff games. I'm saying that from a statistical standpoint and their ability to put their team on their back when they need a play, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, 1 and 2 out of that draft class.
That draft class?
Fair.
Fair. That's fair because it's fair enough. Because injury, right. Due to injury, I'll go with that. Due to injury.
All right. Due to injury.
I'll go with that. But there's only one elite quarterback in that class right now. In my opinion, one elite quarterback.
True.
Anyway, so what are we talking about?
We got off on that tangent.
I know we sure did. Sure did. We're back on it. The coach is the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, we're saying that there are some fans who would say, you know, they're taking their time. Yeah, that may frustrate some people, you know, that this is a job that people will perceive as the best job because you have an elite quarterback and you have an owner that's willing to spend, and you also are getting like $30 million under the cap this year. Me personally, I think the Detroit Lions is the best available job just because you have a guy, Matt Stafford, that has the talent that you just need to define. You have a once-in-a-generation wide receiver with Calvin Johnson. You have two very good running backs in Reggie Bush and Jacquel Bell. And then you have the most dominant defensive tackle in the league in Ndamukong Suh. Nick Fairley isn't a slouch either.
Nick Fairley's a beast.
And then you also had Iggy.
You're
supposed to know that because you're Nigerian.
I'm African. Is he Nigerian?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Trifling.
He's Nigerian?
I think so, yes.
Because his name's funny, he's Nigerian?
Yes.
You already know. This dude trying to play it off. Because you know. It's like Iwanza.
Iwanza.
I don't think he's Nigerian anyway, but it's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I say, to me, that's the best job available, but everyone has their own opinion.
I'm not. That's a different topic. It's a different segment, actually.
Different segment. All right.
I can go into that. But
do you think the Redskins are going about the process correctly by talking to, I guess, the number count is up to 12 coaches at this point?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it earlier. They have to. I think they have to really make sure they bring the right guy for the job. A guy who can help, in my opinion, not even just a guy, not just the head coach. I don't think the head coach has to be, you know, an offensive coordinator. It could be a defensive coordinator. Just a guy who can handle personalities and can still be stern. And like I said earlier, a guy who can bring a physical brand to the Washington Redskins. We're talking about the NFC East, man, and I'm going to say this again. If you want to be successful in a playoff run, but if you want to be traditional NFC East, we need to bring a physical mentality to this conference, to this division, because this division has gotten weak, in my opinion. And I think if the Redskins brought in a physical, you know, brought in a physical coach, or any of these teams bring in a physical coach in the NFC East, the division would take off because people would match the intensity, and we talking about the NFC East as a division of strength. Now there's a division of weakness. So I would love for this team to bring in a physical guy to play. I mean, to be a coach of this team, bring in an offensive coordinator. If it's a defensive guy, bring in an offensive coordinator that suits RG3, the guy who can play to his talents and also who can actually build on what he's learned and make him better as a pocket quarterback.
All right, and I have the exact guy for you.
Go ahead.
It's not the guy. It's probably not the guy you want. It's not Bill Cowher.
Okay, that's cool.
It's not Ken Whisenhunt.
Okay.
He's still playing.
Still
in the
playing
playoffs.
Football?
Yeah. No, his team. His team is still in the playoffs.
Go ahead.
It's Greg Roman.
Yeah, I want him.
I think Greg Roman. I think Greg Roman, he's a guy who He's helped develop a quarterback who's similar to RG3 and Colin Kaepernick.
He's on a hardball tree.
He's in a hardball coaching tree, which is physical football.
Mm-hmm.
And a he's going to improve the play of the offensive line. He's going to improve Robert Griffin III's mechanics and get him to see the field and go through his progressions and read. And he's also going to develop an offense which will allow Robert Griffin III to use his talents, which is his leg, when the play breaks down and, you know, get outside the pocket and also move the pocket. So I think Greg Roman to me, and also Greg Roman is a young coach. RG3 is a young quarterback. They were kind of, their reputation would be tied together.
They'll be on the hip.
And essentially helping to turn around the fortune of this franchise. So I think me personally, Greg Roman would be the ideal candidate for these guys. He's not necessarily the most flashiest candidate, but I think he's the right candidate for this job and for this team at this time.
I like Roman because, like you mentioned, he's on the hardball tree, which is physical football. And also, you know, if you see the progression of Kaepernick, he struggled this season to a certain extent. But at the same time, he's taught Kaepernick enough to a point where she's trying to make him a better pocket quarterback, pocket passer. And we've seen it. He's willing. Kaepernick's more willing to stay in the pocket. So he's actually worked on that, too. So as we all have seen, we all watch football, the 49ers don't do a lot of read option. They didn't do a lot of read option this season compared to last season when Kaepernick took over. And you saw Kaepernick more of a pocket passer. Now, did he struggle? Of course. But he's during the season, Kaepernick has gotten better. And that's something you want to do for RG3. And we all can honestly say last season, if we had to like grade the accuracy, I think we would always say that RG3 was more accurate than Kaepernick last season. I mean, we're talking about in terms of the season. The Redskins went to the postseason and went healthy. He was more accurate than Kaepernick. So you look at that and you grade out and you say, okay, well, if Roman can get a healthy RG3 and hopefully coach him up, maybe we'll see that kind of player if he's the head coach of the Washington Redskins. There's another guy that I like, you know, because I'm down for physical football. I like to go back to go back to our homegrown player. I like to go to like Russ Grimm. If I can't get Bill Cowher, I want Russ Grimm.
Well,
I want a nasty mentality.
I think if you got Ken Whisenhunt,
you can get Russ.
Get Russ Grimm.
Yeah, I know.
Russ Grimm would probably be the OC coach or the offensive line coach, because he was actually his assistant head coach in Phoenix.
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona.
I got you. I got you. Phoenix. Yeah, I'm not Cardinals.
Let me ask you this question. Fill in the blank. If this guy got the job, I would be shocked.
They talk about this guy who coaches. He's coaching for Maryland.
James Franklin.
Yeah.
You would be shocked if James Franklin got the job.
I'd be shocked. He coached for Vanderbilt, right? Yeah,
yeah,
I'd be
he's
shocked.
He's the head coach at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. I mean, he grades. I hear he grades out well for future coaches, but I'd be shocked.
I think out of all the candidates, and I think this guy does deserve a chance to become a head coach in the NFL, Mike Zimmer. I would be shocked if Mike Zimmer got the job he's not the what they've gone with in the past, which is the flashy hiring, you know, like bringing Joe Gibbs or Mike Shanahan back or even, I think, which this hiring was a total joke, the young, supposedly up-and-coming coordinator, Jim Zorn, yeah.
That was an accident. He wasn't even supposed to be the head coach. He's supposed to be offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that just lets you know just how much no one wanted the job at that point.
That was an accident.
that was such
an accident. Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that. I actually like Zimmer. I think he'll be an excellent head coach once he gets the opportunity. I like his style of defense. But anyway, let's go to the NFL playoffs, which was so exciting. Again, if y'all want to call in, the number is 202-495-0904. Let's go into Chiefs Colts game. One of the most exciting games that I've seen. Truby, so I didn't see that game. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't see that game. I ain't gonna lie to you, boy. I didn't see that game.
I haven't.
Cause I was working out. I ain't gonna lie. I was working out.
I saw some of the game. The only game that I saw a majority of it was 49ers versus Packers.
You watched all that game?
I saw the second half. Well, I saw the last quarter. That's the only game that I saw the majority of.
I saw the Saints and the Eagles game. You was busy.
Yeah, I was busy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were busy.
Yeah.
I feel you, son. I saw the Eagles-Saints game. Let me put it this way. Everybody's so happy. The Saints are so happy. And God bless their souls. They should be happy. They beat the Eagles. Who cares? to be honest with you, who cares? It's a team that was off defensively, you know, they played well. I mean, towards the second half of the season, in my opinion. But it's a team that could be beat. It's the same team that lost to the Minnesota Vikings. They got killed by the Vikings. We lost them, too. So, obviously, they can be beat. And the weather was, you know, the weather was whatever. And everybody was like, oh, the Saints, they're going to play in cold weather. They beat the Eagles, man. They beat the Eagles on the road. Okay, they beat Eagles.
I
thought they were going to lose the Eagles, but they beat the Eagles. It's not as if they're going to Seattle. All right, let's be real. They're going to Seattle. I'm not going to say who I think is going to win, but just tell by my tone and my voice. They're going to Seattle.
Yeah, the place where they were blown out.
Exactly.
What, 3 years ago?
They were blown out this season.
Yeah, they were blown out this season by them, yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Like you alluded to, I don't think out of all the playoff teams, with the exception of maybe the Chargers that played this past weekend, I would say the Eagles were the second least talented team.
Yeah.
I don't think no one expected the Eagles.
No one expected the Eagles.
You know, Chip Kelly
did a great job. He did a great job.
He did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
So, kudos to Chip Kelly and hats off to him for, you know, even getting his team to that point. They definitely had a chance to win that game.
Oh, yeah,
they weren't able to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who I'm most saddened for and heartbroken, Andy Reid.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
28 points. It's like
– but, you know, he did it to himself, though.
He did it to himself. And also the rash of injuries. Like, you lost three Pro Bowlers during that game. You lost Jamal Charles. You lost Brandon Flowers. And I'm drawing a blank.
Who was it? Not Houston or Ali.
Yeah, they lost Justin Houston.
Houston, yeah.
So you lost three Pro Bowlers during that game.
But you're 32. We still up 38-10.
You were still up 28 points.
38-10.
And didn't run the ball.
That's that Andy Reid stuff. I mean, not to knock Andy Reid,
but
that's that Andy Reid stuff,
but
man.
I can say this. When Jamal Charles was in the game, he did run the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But still, you don't have to. Are you up 38? Maybe because, again, I grew up watching the Redskins and Joe Gibbs. And I knew when Joe Gibbs was blowing the team out, it was like, all right, well, we're going to run the ball, and that's it. We're not going to give you a chance to turn. We're not going to give you a chance. We're going to do ball control, and that's going to be it. Because chances are, it's hard to score 28 points if you're doing a ball control offense.
Well, I think at that point, you know, with the lead that they had, you're playing two opponents. You're playing the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're playing the Colts.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think this game was the game where kind of
– you need to play the clock.
That's really play the clock first.
Yeah, you didn't play the clock first. That's just all it is.
This was kind of Andrew Luck's coming out party for the world. You know, because I'll be the first to admit, you don't get a lot of Indianapolis Colts games in this area.
Oh, not at all.
From week to week, you know, mm-hmm. unless you watch the highlights and then you watch the post game shows and you watch the various news outlets, you know what Andrew Luck can do then. But I think this was Andrew Luck's welcome to the world weekend. He brought his team. He willed his team back from 28 points.
Because Andrew Luck's a great quarterback.
He is. He when it's all said and done, his numbers would be up there with Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady's.
I don't put Drew Brees on this, but
why don't you put? Well, we'll
talk about that later. But what I agree with you is that one thing I think Andrew Luck has always been out there. Period. Because I always state this: you don't just get an Elway grade coming in. Coming into college and coming to the NFL, you just don't get that grade. Saying, okay, this is the highest grade since like John Elway. That's already tells you that this dude is special. Then I always say this to us as well. The dude wanted Stanford. Like, understand that. Stanford doesn't bring in athletes. The dude
Stanford brings in students.
Students. The dude was beating USC when the USC was bringing in talent, and he was beating teams like that. The dude is talented. Like, so going to the Colts, I just knew he's smart. He has an arm. He just knows football. And to do what he did against the Chiefs, it's just building his legacy. You know what I mean? He took a Colts team that no one thought last season was going to the playoffs. He took them to the playoffs. Everybody said this would be the Colts would be bad, but Andrew Luck, it'll be a growing year for Andrew Luck. He took that team to the playoffs. This season, he wins the division. You know what I mean? Also, in the playoff, he comes back. He has one of the biggest comebacks ever since. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and I saw Buffalo come back against the Oilers when Frank Wright was the quarterback. You know what I mean? So it's like when you look at a guy like Andrew Luck, he just amazes me. He's amazing. He's really amazing.
All right, let's go into what we learned from the playoffs and what you need to know heading into the conference semifinal rounds.
Okay.
Three things.
I'm doing one.
You doing one?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
we just do win. One.
Let's see. We got to speed this up. Before we get to the other the preview of the other games, we got to go speed this up. All right. What I learned into the playoffs is that, you know, something consistent. The 49ers, they own Aaron Rodgers. It is what it is. They own Aaron Rodgers. Just know that physical mentality in the playoffs is something that is that we need back in the NFL. Like, seriously, they try to make football soft, but we all know physical football wins in the postseason. And the Niners, every time they play the Packers, they show it to you that a finesse quarterback who can give you 30 points a game cannot do anything when the defense is willing to punch you in the mouth.
All right, what I learned is, even though you may have great overall team talent, it doesn't mean anything in the playoffs unless your quarterback is truly consistent in talent. And I'm referring to the Cincinnati Bengals and specifically Andy Dalton. I think from 1 through 53, that's the most talented team that was in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm, totally
but
agree.
That number one spot, that quarterback position, was extremely inconsistent, and he didn't live up. The game was bigger and the position was bigger than him, and we saw the result, and the Chargers went in there and beat him in the jungle, even though they went 8-0 during the season at home.
You know what Andy Dalton reminds me of? I actually thought about this, too, and I just thought about it.
What's that?
He reminds me of the dude, what is it, Shane Falco. Quicksand. Oh, yeah. When he said that point in the replacements about quicksand,
mm-hmm.
He was like quicksand. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of. Like, that's how Andy Dalton was in that game. It was like quicksand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's Andy Dalton to me. Yeah. I feel bad for him. Like you said, I agree with you.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. Marvin Lewis, 11 years without a playoff win.
Yeah, I was hoping he got fired. I was hoping he got fired. Then we can hire him. I was really hoping he got fired. I know
you can hire him back as a D coordinator.
Nah, he be my head coach. Marvin Lewis is my head coach.
Oh, okay.
Nah, he's gonna be my head coach. I wanted him fired, and maybe he could got Hugh Jackson with him. We would have been all right, I think.
All right, but enough with the wild card. Let's preview the divisional games. Colts versus Patriots.
That game is going to be interesting. I like you mentioned earlier. Due to the fact that Colts won't have obviously they're not gonna have Gronk, and you know, well, Aaron Hernandez is busy doing something else.
Doing hard time.
Doing a hard time.
Or possibly braiding another guy there.
R. Kelly style, braiding my hair.
We shouldn't joke about that.
I don't care. But due to the fact that, you know, the Colts play a physical brand, I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew Luck goes out there and gets that W. Building on his legacy and his momentum he's got going on. If he had Reggie Wayne, I definitely would think they would win the game. But I think Talib to be on Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, look for him to be on Hilton. So Andrew Luck's going to have to take advantage of, you know, Fleener. Thank you, Fleener. And what happened to the other tight end he used to have? He got hurt for the whole season?
Dwayne Allen,
yeah,
he got hurt
for the whole season. Well, yeah, they'll be on Fleener, and I can see Andrew Luck, you know, pulling out another W.
I totally agree with you. And not just for the reason of Andrew Luck, for the reason of the head coach, Chuck Pagano. Chuck Strong. He has the recipe for beating the Patriots, if anyone remembers.
Oh, the Ravens.
When he was the Ravens' defensive coordinator, he beat the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. And he also, that defense played the Patriots extremely tight that first time they played in the playoffs.
To go to the Super Bowl, which one are you talking about? Not to go to the Super Bowl. It wasn't there last year.
Oh, excuse me.
But I know you're talking about almost beat him. They like that. Yeah. I know the game you're talking about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chuck Pagano has the formula for Tom Brady. I'm not saying that he has the formula to beat Tom Brady, but he knows what to do from a defensive standpoint to bring them to an even keel, where if Andrew Luck is able to put up some points, they're able to move the ball and move the chains. And beat, once again, you have to beat not only the Patriots, but beat the clock also.
That's true.
That's a team. I actually am picking the Colts to upset the Patriots this weekend.
Totally agree with you. Let's go to the Chargers, Broncos. I want to pick the Chargers because Phillip Rivers is my dude. Like, that's my dude. But, man, Peyton Manning is also my dude. And that man is on a mission. Peyton Manning is on a mission. You know, I like when Peyton Manning, when folks kept talking about how he can't win in the cold weather. And I think he had like a crucial game, like a vicious game against what team was he playing? Tennessee Titans. And he had, you know, the Titans. It is the Titans, but still, he put up good numbers on against them. And then he kind of told reporters, like, basically stick it. You know what I mean? So that means he's aware of it, and he's acknowledging it. If you acknowledge something and you're basically telling people shut up, I feel like you're like motivated. You're using that against. You're using that anger for good. Yeah. And I think he's on a mission.
I agree with you too. I think he's on a mission. His mission isn't going to be complete until he's at MetLife Stadium holding up the Super Bowl championship. So I'm going with the Broncos in this game.
Yeah, but McCoy and Rivers, I'm glad to have you back as an elite quarterback, Rivers, because I used to have debates about Rivers not, you know, being elite, and everybody used to like kind of get on me. But I'm glad you're back, Phillip, because you deserve it. Good
right,
quarterback.
Next game is the classic offense versus defensive matchup, which is the New Orleans Saints traveling to Seattle to play the Seahawks. This one I am leaning very heavily towards Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
From the simple point that we've seen the Saints go to Seattle twice over the past 5 years and be obliterated both times. I think they'll take away, and even though it's not going to make a huge difference, they'll take away Jimmy Graham, force the other receivers to step up, make plays, but ultimately that defensive line is too much for the Saints' offensive line, and that running game is going to pound the Saints' defense into submission.
This is going to happen. Like you said, this is simple. The Saints are a passing team. I don't care what they did against the Eagles. They ran the ball through that's nice, but they make their bread and butter by airing it out. The Seattle Seahawks' strength is that secondary. You already lost, all right. So you already lost. It's not a good matchup for them. We're talking about a team that's not physical. The Saints aren't a physical team. You can be physical against a smaller D line, a smaller D line that the Eagles have, but this Seattle team is physical. It's physical all around the board. So I don't see this game being close. If Russell Wilson plays average, this game's a blowout.
And the last and final game, we have the 49ers versus Carolina, which is going to be bully ball, as you like to play.
Yeah,
this is
bully ball.
Physical football all day long. But I actually think the 49ers, they're on a mission that actually stops at MetLife Stadium. So I'm picking the 49ers over Carolina.
This is going to be a tough one because this is real tough. Because this is a game, you know what I'm saying? This is back in the day when you used to take it, you and some of your friends, you go in the bathroom, you go with the body. You know, back in the day, middle school, going to body.
Yeah, back in middle school.
Back in middle school.
Be like, yeah.
You know,
so everybody
you. Standing around,
around,
circling.
Standing, and it'd be a phone booth.
Yeah.
You just got
to
go
to the
body.
This is it. You're going to the body. Who's going to lean over first? Who's going to be like, who's going to do that first? That's all it is. Who's going to be that team that's going to wilt under pressure? And I'm leaning the 49ers because I'm a Jim Harbaugh fan, but I can definitely see Cam Newton coming in this game and put on that cape. Because to me, between the two quarterbacks, this season, Cam Newton's the better quarterback right now.
Far more better in the pocket than Colin Kaepernick.
So if I'm going that way, you know, sometimes you want to lean on your quarterback, you have two dominant defenses, but I'm with you. I think San Francisco is in a whole different mission right now, and they're more experienced right now in this situation. They've experienced it, and I think that may be the advantage in this game. So I'm going to go with the 49ers.
All right, usually we do three things that you need to know about the divisional, but, you know, since we're up against a break.
No break, because we got one more news segment.
We got one more news segment.
Yeah, then we got
one
break.
One thing that you'll learn about the divisional playoffs.
What folks will learn in the divisional playoffs is that they're going to learn that we're going to get good quarterback play in these divisional games. The majority of good quarterback play. Just think about it. We're going to have the young up and coming, the future of the NFL in terms of quarterback position, Andrew Luck, against the so-called 1A present in Tom Brady. You get Peyton Manning. Now you got Peyton Manning, 1B, 1A, 1B. And then you got Phillip Rivers, a guy who was elite. You got Drew Brees, and, you know, to some, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL as well. So you got a lot. You're going to have great quarterback play. And I'm not even talking about Cam Newton, the young generation with Cam Newton and Kaepernick. So, and Russell Wilson, excuse me. So in that regard, you're going to see great quarterback play, and you're going to see the young guns do their thing.
All right. I think the one thing that we'll learn is, you know, from the teams that I'm predicting to win, which is the Colts, the Broncos, Seahawks, and the 49ers, that in January, the run game is still very prevalent. You got to be able to run the ball and kill the clock and also move the chains. And I think those four teams, because of their ability, they'll be able to run the ball will ultimately come out on top.
All right, real quick, some NFL news. So we didn't get a chance to talk about it because we have a show last week. Jay Cutler getting a 7-year deal worth $50 million guaranteed from the Chicago Bears.
He's worth it to them.
To them. Not worth it. Bad decision. Bad decision. It's like giving Jeff George a multi-year deal, in my opinion.
Well, Mark Trestman has definitely improved some of his mechanics and improved the way he's played the game from a mental standpoint. So I think for them, you have to look at it. What are your other options?
That's true. That's true. I would have, in my opinion, this is me, I would have signed with McCown and then drafted a quarterback in the draft. That's my opinion.
I mean, that's easy to say, but it depended on how the draft board fell.
That's true.
Who would you have?
Hey, go after Kirk Cousins.
But speaking of the Chicago Bears, their former coach, Lovie Smith, was recently hired by the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Love it.
What do you think?
Love it. It's like you're bringing a cover two back to Tampa, and he's going to bring in Frazier, too, also from Minnesota. I love the signing. I think it's a good sign. And Lovie Smith was a good coach with the Bears. Got a raw deal. So
I also think Lovie got a raw deal. He went 10-6 in his last season.
Took you to a Super Bowl?
Also, he was there for 9 seasons, only had 3 playoff appearances, and I think four of the seasons was only winning seasons. Mm-hmm. So winning or .500 and above seasons. So I hope he's learned from his mistakes in Tampa Bay, from Chicago, because if you just look at the statistical standpoint, his offense was inept when he was in Chicago. That's just totally a side of the ball he didn't even recognize or care to address. So I think he's taking the right steps in bringing a guy from the former coach of California,
Tedford.
Yeah, Tedford. Yeah,
he's really
very
good.
Very good. He's developed a couple of
quarterbacks,
NFL quarterbacks, and also
Aaron Rodgers, right?
Aaron Rodgers, Trent Dilfer.
Also, Kyle Bowler. He had some bad ones, though, too.
Yeah, he did.
He had some bad ones.
He coached Deshaun Jackson and Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And Jahvid Best while he was at Cal. And
while he can actually think. His concussions are terrible.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Moving on to the NFL coaching hiring news. Texans hired Penn State coach Bill O'Brien as their new head coach. They announced that a press conference. What was it?
It was like a week ago. Was it a week ago? Or was
I think
it
was Friday.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay, yeah. Friday. You know, he's getting bad press in Penn State. Folks from Penn State saying he basically left the team like a traitor or things of that sort. He did a good job in Penn State. He aspired to be an NFL head coach, got his job, got an opportunity. He did a good job in Penn State. So, and he also, he has NFL experience with the Patriots and Tom Brady. So I think it's a good hire. I think that's what coaches, you're looking for coaches. You want coaches who coach in college and also for young coaches who coach in college and has coached in the NFL. To me, that's a good recipe for a successful coach, in my opinion.
I'm not going to comment on, him leaving Penn State, what way I feel about that.
Why do you feel about that? You feel like the traitor?
I'm not going to say traitor. Now, I understand that, no job is permanent and every job should be a stepping stone. But when you sell the guys, those players, when they had the opportunity to leave the program, that we need to stay here and build something.
I got
and
you.
After 2 years, you decide to jet. Kind of a hypocrite.
But I hear you. That makes sense. I won't argue with that.
But
that
I think it's an okay hiring for Houston. They have the number one pick. We'll see which direction they go. They need a quarterback. It looks like he's bringing in the Patriots, so it'll be Patriots South.
Yeah.
And, we'll see how that pans out. But that roster has, as it already is constituted, has a lot of talent on it. So we'll see how he manages.
Yeah, it won't be that much change. Just need a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Need to bring a quarterback in. Next, within all, you mentioned it earlier a little bit. Within all the openings, which team, I believe you already said it though, which team is the ideal situation for an up-and-coming or a new head coach?
Okay, I know I stated that I think Detroit is the best opportunity, the best opening now for you to win now. But I'm also put a flip side on that. I think the Browns, you have an excellent opportunity stamp on it from the standpoint that you have 2 first-round picks. You have 5 all-pro players already on that roster. Mm-hmm. You have Ray Horton still left over as your defensive coordinator. So technically, if you're an offensive guy, you don't even have to Well, of course, it's the head coach. You want some input on defense, but you can kind of let Ray Horton do his thing with defense.
Yeah, which is supposed to. That's how the NFL works nowadays.
You have a relatively young roster. You have a lot of cap space. My only concern is Mike Lombardi picking the players.
Yeah, I know.
So NFL Network. And also his inclination to make that kind of Patriots North. Because, you know, he's bringing a lot of guys who he worked with in the Patriots. He interviewed, what's the guy? Josh McDaniels.
And why is he such a hot commodity?
I have no idea. Because, you know, Mike Lombardi is a Belichick guy. If you watch that, 95 Cleveland Browns on NFL Network?
Yeah.
What was it? Football life.
For your football life.
Yeah, Mike Lombardi was one of the guys who was under Bill Belichick at Cleveland, along with Nick Saban, Jim Schwartz, who a lot of people are saying that could possibly be the defensive coordinator if Ray Horton leaves.
Because Ray Horton's going to get a head coaching job, too.
Yeah, and Josh McDaniels is a Bill Belichick guy. And actually the guy who Mike Lombardi wanted to start at quarterback, Brian Hoyer,
Patriots. Yeah, so, I know.
You know, I think that job definitely has, depending on how you look at it, what perspective you take, it definitely has a lot of upside.
Well, I'm going to choose another situation. I think if you draft correctly, obviously, I'm not going to pick the Redskins, because obviously, you know, I choose the Redskins, you know, I would, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. You got Adrian Peterson, probably the best player, when healthy, the best player, offensive player in the NFL. You also have some money to probably work on that defense and to strengthen the defense. And this team last season, they were a playoff team. And now, if you just give them a quarterback, you already got Greg Jennings. You got the exciting Patterson, who's your new Percy Harvin. So you got the running game. All you got to do is build up that defense. You can definitely have a playoff team to compete with the Bears. And the Packers and the Lions. The Browns. I really like that idea, Will, about the Lions. The Browns. You can add to that the Browns having a historical franchise, and if you can win with the Browns, a team that is popular, as a coach, you're building up your resume, stating that I won with the Browns. I won with this big franchise and all the history. You got the legendary players of Jim Brown. You got Bernie Kosar, Eric Metcalf. You're talking about a team that's won back in the day, and also makes a lot of money with that fan base. So I think the Browns is a great situation. And like Will mentioned too, that defense is stout, period. The talent that's on that defense is stout. And if you can bring in a coach to take advantage of that situation, that team can definitely be a playoff team, especially to me in the AFC North that's to be had. You saw an inconsistent Cincinnati team that won a division. The Baltimore Ravens were inconsistent, and they almost, you know, they almost won a division, almost got to the postseason. Yeah, and the Steelers went 8-8 and almost got to the postseason.
Sorry
to
cut you off.
Go ahead.
I know you were going on in your monologue. And
I had to during
my brief hiatus.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say doing what, but you were right. This is a division that's really in flux, because the Baltimore Ravens, they had the opportunity to pull it out, to win a division title in the last game of the season, but ultimately they didn't. So if you're a guy who can come in and kind of manipulate the working pieces you have now, and also add on to it with two first-round draft picks and a litany of other picks you have in the draft, you should be in a great situation.
And like I said before, you win in Cleveland.
You're
a king. So
you are a coaching genius.
Exactly. So it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back, we're gonna move to the NBA. The Wizards 14-17. They actually were doing good before I wrote this outline. Now they're not.
Currently in fifth place.
They're fifth seed. East. Yeah, I know. Poor Wizards. Fifth seed though is pretty good. Gilbert Arenas and them were what?
Fifth seed.
Exactly. See. Which team was better? Which team? Was Eddie Jordan's team? Or was it, what's the name of this coach again? Whitman. Whitman's team. Who's better?
Anyway. Eddie Whitman. All right, anyway. We'll discuss that when we come back from the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You dig?
They deuces.
Dang, man. We're slipping.
You're supposed to say on the Urban On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Show me what you twerk with. So good. Feel it, lap dance. I'm in that white ghost chasing Pac-Man.
Urban Sports Scene back on. And if you need to call in, if you want to call in, the number is 202-495-0904.
Wally is trying to say is please call in at
202-495-0904. No, I'm not. I ain't no please. I ain't begging nobody. Real talk, real true story, like real world, seven different strangers in one house. I don't need nobody to call me. Seriously. Besides, I will block numbers. I've done it before. All
right, now we're talking NBA, specifically local NBA, which is our Washington Wizards.
The great Washington Wizards. Led by the greatest.
14-17 Washington Wizards.
Led by our great Ernie Grunfeld. The great Ernie Grunfeld. Yeah, general manager for ages.
Please, don't get me started on the tangent about that guy.
What? All right. He's great. He's great.
The Wizards are 14-17 now, currently in the fifth place. How do they compare against Eddie Jordan's playoff teams of the past?
That's a good question. You know what? Are we going? Let's go with.
You wrote it?
I know. All right. Great questions. What's Eddie Jordan team are we talking about? Actually, I just thought about that after I wrote. Now I just thought about it. Are we talking about with Larry Hughes? Or are we talking about Caron Butler?
Let's go with, because I think you could. It would be fair to compare this team against the team with Larry Hughes.
I think so too.
That team.
It's fresher. It's fresh.
Yeah, a better. You know, they had two potential all-stars in the backcourt, and this team has definitely one and an uprising star in Bradley Beal.
Yeah, in that regard, I like what Gilbert Arenas and Larry Hughes brought to the table more. I love what John Wall brings. What the difference between this team is John Wall is a star, but he's a facilitator. So that, in my opinion, John Wall has brought in. That aspect is this obviously that team was over 500. This team was 14-17, and and they earn. And true, the season's not over too. They can get this Wizards team can win some games in a row. Maybe the record would be better, and the comparison would be even that much comparable. Put it that way. But at the moment, that Wizards team was exciting, consistently exciting. They didn't care about. Like, you know, the competition. They play hard against anybody.
Okay. I'll give you that. That team was far more entertaining to watch. But I think as a whole, this team is probably better for the simple fact that they have at least one guy who can get you points on the block, which being either Nene or Martin Gortat.
Yeah. But I'm not arguing that. No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm not arguing. I'm trying to think. Kwame Brown was a dog in the postseason.
Please.
he did that Chicago.
Anyways.
Stop forgetting that Chicago series. Kwame Brown went ham.
The only time Kwame Brown played good was against Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler.
Exactly. He went ham. The playoff series, he went ham. That's the most I've ever seen Kwame Brown score offensively, like consistently.
Yeah, whatever. I echo your sentiments. That team was far more entertaining to watch. I think this team is a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
They just haven't found it. One, the guy who's kind of the glue, the second most important guy on that team, Nene, decides when and if he wants to play on a
which
night
is ridiculous. He needs to be traded. He needs to retire or be traded.
Yeah, because he's going to want at least $12 million coming up when his contract expires. So I don't even think you give that to
him. If he ever asks for $12 million when his contract expires, I would laugh. I'm dead serious because you're a part-time player.
Yeah.
You're not even a full-time player. You're a part-time player. I would get rid of Nene, to be honest with you, just because you see the play of Trevor Booker. He's giving you like 10 plus boards a night now. And he can finish around the basket. Like you mentioned Gortat, who's a good post player, not an all-star center, but a good post player. You can get rid of Nene if you wanted to. In my opinion, you could. What to me, that team in Golden State, that team for the Wizards was good because they had chemistry. You had Gilbert Arenas, Larry Hughes, and Antoine Jameson all play together in Golden State. So you brought in the Golden State, like three scorers in Golden State, and brought them to D.C., all right? That team worked. It just they worked well together. And also, to be honest with you, there was some competition within Gilbert Arenas and Larry Hughes, friendly competition. You know, anything you can do, I can do better type thing when they played on the floor together. So it was just an exciting time because, you know, they brought a show for the fans. And also, you know, you remember games with Gilbert Arenas with that team going off against the Lakers in L.A. I think he had like 50th.
60.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Going head-to-head to Kobe, against Kobe Bryant. So that team just didn't care. It just didn't care. This team, to me, stresses out too much. They do. Randy Whitman allows that too. They stress out too much.
Well, you know, teams often take on the personality of head coach. So I think it would be fair to say that Randy Whitman, he looks like on the sideline, he kind of worries a lot. So I think his players have kind of taken on that personality.
Yeah.
But I think just because the East is so weak this year, I think this team actually has the opportunity, if they learn how to gel, to make it to the second round of the playoffs.
They could.
Those Wizards teams didn't.
No, they made the second round. Don't forget that one team did, though. They beat the Bulls. They just lost. They beat the Bulls. They got to the second round.
Yeah, they got swept.
Yeah.
Second round.
They got by the Heat, I believe. Yeah. The Heat?
I think so.
It was the Heat. Yeah. Got swept by the Heat.
Could be wrong.
No, I believe I'm right. Yeah, I remember that season. That's the Heat. The Heat. Great. It was a great time for the Washington fan base.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, there's a rumor that the Wizards are in talks with the Grizzlies and Bucks. They would trade Ariza and Vesely. They would trade Ariza and Vesely. Wizards would get Ed Davis and Larry Sanders. I believe both are with the Milwaukee Bucks. Memphis would get Caron Butler, Ariza, and this dude named some European player. And the Bucks would get Jan Vesely, Tayshaun Prince, Mike Miller, and Kosta Koufos. I think Kosta Koufos plays for the
Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, Memphis Grizzlies. I have no problem. Huh? I have no problem with that trade.
Big trade just because of all of the bodies being distributed.
Okay, I have the same issue. Don't worry about it. It happens.
To different locations, but if this trade were to happen, you're getting rid of Jan Vesely. And see, and this is the thing that concerns me. First of all, I'm going to analyze the trade, but this is the second thing that concerns me. I think the Wizards would win if they got Larry Sanders and got Ed Davis for the simple standpoint that you would have a defensive four in Larry Sanders who can guard the basket, and Ed Davis is a guy who can score around the basket and you don't need to run plays for. So I think the Wizards would win from that standpoint. Now, here's the disturbing trend. Whenever Ernie Grunfeld makes a trade, whenever Ernie Grunfeld royally Fs up, he decides, okay, I'm going to get rid of my F up because this is my last year and I want a new contract. Why weren't you making these moves prior to this? Why weren't you making this team competitive prior to your last year of your contract, dude? Like Ernie Grunfeld, you know, I watched the ESPN 30 for 30 with him and Bernard King.
Yeah.
Very touching. Extremely touching. But dude, and he seems like a nice guy, a guy you would want to be your neighbor, a guy who you want to be the grandfather, the godfather of your kids. But why the hell does this guy still have a job? That's my question. He's made so many mistakes from trying to form a big three with, out of Andre Block, Nick Swaggy P. Young, and what's the other Joker's name? JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah. And now this. All right, okay, I messed up. I drafted the only European player who can't shoot in Jan Vesely. So now I'm going to ship him out of town before anyone notices. No, can this guy? I'm sorry.
He said the only European player who couldn't shoot. I know, right? That's he is yeah, so an, he, I don't,
he's the
I don't,
only
I,
European
I never
player who could not shoot a jump shot.
I've never seen it in my life. I've never seen that in my life. I'm amazed by him. I really am.
But no, I think if this trade were to go down, is constituted right here, I think the Wizards would definitely win because Larry Sanders is the type of guy that they need to. Martin Gortat, to me, he's a five, but he's not physical. He's not a guy who's going to guard the rim.
Yeah, he's not blocking any shots.
He's not intimidating. And he's not deterring any shots when you bring him to the lane.
Yeah,
Nene, he's just, I decide when I want to play and I collect my $10 to $12 million a year.
But they did say that Ernie Grunfeld is wavering on making this trade. He's just not sure.
Why the hell would he waver? You have Jan Vesely, a guy who's done absolutely nothing.
He's
for
a glue
you.
Guy, you know. Jan Vesely runs
a
the floor.
Glue guy. What's a glue guy?
Hey,
what the hell is a glue guy in the NBA?
I don't believe in glue guys.
Believe in glue guys.
I believe in talent.
To me, that's a guy who's not talented enough
exactly.
to flourish.
Exactly. I don't believe in glue guys. I think glue guys are the most overrated. It's the most overrated term in sports. In terms of basketball, it really is. It's basically saying that you have a role because you can't score.
So is that the guy who, when they're during in the warm-ups, keeps everyone loose by telling jokes?
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's a glue guy.
Is
that the guy who's the wingman for guys when they go out to the bar and picks up women? Is that? What the hell is a glue guy?
Hey, hold up. The wingman is very essential. I've never played the role. I don't try to. I don't like playing the glue guy. I don't like playing the wingman. All right? All right. Sometimes somebody's not that attractive. You don't want to play that role. You want to play that role. But I'm just saying, like, She got me saying the wingman. The glue guy in the situation for the basketball, like towel waivers. You know,
Mark Madsen.
Yeah, Mark Madsen. Excellent glue guy.
He kept Shaq entertained
exactly.
by his dance.
Exactly. That's a racial term for black people who black people hate. That's like his boy. But yeah, so yeah, we got me on this tangent about like glue guys. I'm back on wingman. I want to have that discussion. To be honest with you, the wingman discussion is awesome. Jew would hate me. We can be candid. I'm the worst wingman in the world. I'm dead serious. You know, I have set people up so bad. It's not even funny. People have asked me for favors like, Wally, can you talk to that person? I'd be like, no, I can't. I refuse to. Have you seen that person? Why should I do it? It makes no sense to me. And I feel like, and I've been called a bad friend. And that's a possibility. And I'm going to take that to my grave. And I acknowledge it. I am a bad friend when it comes to that. I made Harold party. Harold's one of my best friends in life. We went to this place called Club Elite. Harold danced with this chick with a broken leg for me. I told him, I was like, damn, man, that's real love, man. I appreciate it. I wouldn't do that for you, though. I jacked up. I know.
That is. All right, let's get to the rest of the NBA news.
I just needed my confession. That was my confession. I'm sorry.
You feel better?
Yeah, I feel better.
You did your 10 Hail Marys?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right, I feel good now.
Let's go. This NBA news and close out the show. There was a big trade announced today. Cleveland Cavaliers traded Andrew Bynum and 3 draft picks to the Bulls for Luol Deng.
Was it 3? I thought it was a draft pick.
No, it was 3. It's a
– Yeah. Oh, he got released too.
Yeah, he second part of that, Andrew Bynum cleared waivers from the Bulls and was released by 5 p.m. today. So he's technically a free agent and can sign with anyone.
I'm interested. I'm thinking he's going to go to L.A. There were talks that he was going to go get traded for Pau Gasol.
I think the original trade that people were discussing was the Lakers would send Pau Gasol to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know Pau Gasol is happy, ecstatic he doesn't have to go to Cleveland.
You think so? He don't want to be L.A.? I think he'd rather be in
– Dude, I would rather live in L.A., sit on the bench.
Oh, I would too, but I don't think he cares.
Than live in Cleveland.
Look. I agree with you. I just don't think – I don't think Pau cares. I think Kyle wants to be able to get away from D'Antoni. But I'm with you. I would never want to get traded from LA. I'd be the laziest.
He's making $19 million living in
real
LA.
Talk. Real talk. If you ain't trading me to Miami, dude, I'm staying in LA. And I'm chilling, doing nothing. I ain't gonna be a complaining ninja. I know where my bread and butter's at.
Exactly.
I get to party with some stars. Shoot, and the groupies? Oh, love me,
the
please.
The groupies!
But, the Chicago Bulls received a first-round pick and two of Cleveland's second-round picks. I think this clearly initiates the Chicago Bulls' rebuilding stage. They're getting rid of Luol Deng, a guy who they tried to sign for 3 years and $30 million. But he rejected because he'll be a free agent this upcoming summer. So, you know, with Derrick Rose on the bench, I think this clearly starts to initiate that rebuilding phase for the Bulls, and they're starting to go in another direction, which I think is smart.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm not sure Derrick Rose is a fan of it, though. I know he doesn't want to rebuild. I know that.
No, and probably the second move to come out of this is the Bulls will probably amnesty Carlos Boozer, so they'll get even further under the cap.
Who would come to Chicago to play with Derrick Rose now? I don't think it's a problem. I mean, you go into a big market in Chicago, but who could they be targeting? Could they be targeting Melo?
Melo would make sense with the way that,
and knowing that Team Jordan.
Team Jordan. But Melo, I think Melo would be an excellent addition. If you have Melo, Derrick Rose, and Joakim Noah, along with Jimmy Butler and Snell.
Yeah.
I think that's.
You got something.
You could definitely put yourself back into that top three in the East.
Because you got an elite player, one healthy, in Derrick Rose. I think Melo's an elite player. I don't care what anybody tells me. He scores, yeah.
I think Melo just needs willing point guard.
Yeah, willing point guard.
And he has that in Derrick Rose.
Well, I think Derrick Rose is, to me, Derrick Rose is a baller. Yeah. Melo just needs to play. And Melo needs to be in the right situation. This team right here is constructed. Thibodeau's a great defensive coach. That helps out Melo already. That helps him out already.
And you have Joe. Well, you know, in New York, he has a
Tyson Chandler. Yeah,
but if he goes to Chicago, Joakim Noah is the guy who would defend the basket. So
totally agree with you.
I think it would totally work if that's where Carmelo Anthony's heart is and where he wants to be in Chicago.
He don't know where he wants to go.
I don't think he does either.
Yeah, he wanted to be in New York, and now look at him.
But I actually think that this next team we're going to talk about, the Clippers, is probably his most likely destination.
Oh, I love it. That's the willing point guard. Let's speak. And you know, they're trying to. You heard the rumor that it was in talks.
Carmelo Anthony.
If I'm the Clippers, I'm taking that deal ASAP.
Yes, I am.
ASAP, a lot of Clippers.
Even though Blake Griffin has shown to be a good power forward, he hasn't maximized that, and I think it may be just because he's in L.A. He isn't maximizing his talent.
No, not at all. But anyway, Chris Paul will miss 6 weeks for the Clippers. Could this be a positive thing, though, for the Clippers?
Absolutely. I think you get Darren Collison, you get him in the mode of being able to efficiently run a team. Get him some more playing time. And also, this makes Blake Griffin put that team on his back for the next 6 weeks. This says, hey, you have to step up and be the big boy that we think you are, the number one pick, like the number one pick that you were, and be the guy, quite frankly, that you've been marketing on all these Old Spice commercial and GameStop commercials and Kia Sport commercials, and be our leader.
Their commercials are hilarious. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Be our leader.
The Kia things. Kia commercials are hilarious.
They are hilarious. I hope they get one during the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'm with you about it being a good thing. The only reason why I think it's a good thing, obviously they're going to miss Chris Paul because they're a better team with Chris Paul. Let's put that out there. They're a better team with Chris Paul. But in my opinion, they've just been too
reliant.
Yeah, too reliant on Chris Paul. Like, he has to do everything. And at least this is going to have them sharing the ball more and making Blake Griffin take some ownership of this team. I know as soon as Chris Paul is the better player. All right, it is what it is. That's what happens. When the better player comes, you look at him like, all right, lead me. I need to be led. That's Blake Griffin. I need to be led. But with the injury to Chris Paul, this is going to allow other players to step up who need to step up. And Blake Griffin is the main one. Like, he's going to have to knock down his jump shots consistently. He's going to have to be in the post and finish the way he needs to finish. He's going to have to knock down his free throws. He's going to have to be a leader. Doc Rivers, to me, in a certain way, his offense is going to have to be listened to even more. It's going to have to be implemented even more. They're going to have to run their sets efficiently now with Paul gone, because at first, if the play wasn't working correctly, Paul can always break you down and do things his way to help the offense work. Now they're gonna have to run their sets perfectly, which Doc Rivers is probably a fan of. That's the way he likes things anyway. So this could help out the team, period. But when Chris Paul gets back, and if they can do it the right way, oh, they could be even more dangerous.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I still think that this is the team that will come out of the West this year.
The Clippers?
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for Golden State, because I think that's a team that can beat them.
It's a team that can beat them, but I still think Doc Rivers in a 7-game series will devise a strategy than Mark Jackson.
I apologize. OKC will beat them in the healthy Westbrook. Well, the healthy Westbrook.
I still think OKC is 1 year away.
How long are you going to say 1 year away?
No.
1 year away was like years ago.
No, I think when they got to the finals that first year.
It's early? It's premature?
No, I think it was the right time with that nucleus, with the nucleus of James Harden, Westbrook, and Kevin Durant. You traded Durant away. Reggie Jackson starting to step up. And Lamb is also.
That's my man.
Lamb is a beast. He's going to be a player that you're going to have to think about trading Cephalosha away for,
yeah,
so he can get the necessary minutes. I totally agree with you. Then you also have Steven Adams, and then you have Perry Jones. Perry Jones. You still have Nick Collison.
I like their playing young guys, though.
I like the way they're starting to mesh everything together, but I still think unless you're going to get rid of Cephalosha this year and let Lamb really develop into that guy who could be that third scorer, bona fide scorer, That's still a year away.
Yeah, I totally agree. Anyway, so we're about to wrap the show up anyway. It's been a great show.
First show of the year?
I know, the first show of the new year. It's like Happy New Year.
Happy New Year!
What did you do for New Year's?
Slept.
You slept? Went to church.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love it. I meant that in a good way. Always good to wipe out the sins of 2013. I like to bring them over.
Yeah.
I like to keep them back in 2013. Hey, keeping the past.
Yeah, keep the past in the past.
Yeah,
and move
man.
Along
so
with
much
the
sinning. So much sinning.
Yeah.
That's just terrible. Just so terrible. That's the greatest. It's just terrible. Go ahead. You want to say something?
No. Who we going to go for hard in the paint this week?
I ain't doing that segment.
Yeah, I told you about that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that segment today.
I'm sorry.
We're running over. Yeah, I told you. Didn't you see me scratch it out off the outline?
You really
I said,
did.
Well,
like, I apologize about
dang.
That.
Dang.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up, man. First show of the year. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling in. Psych, no one did.
Yeah. Jerks. Jerk-offs.
Before we leave, got a couple of reads. You can listen to our show. Just visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Deuces, bitches.